Supervisors have come back into session. I believe there's a couple of clarifications we need to report for the record.
Yeah, I've got some additional details to understand. One of the items we put on for closed session as an urgency item, and at this point in time, I would indicate that we should not be having box camera negotiations done in closed session at this time. The other thing I wanted to point out, just for anybody who's listening online, is if you look at the agenda, item 7C should be heard after item 8A, which is a public hearing. The related items is just that the ordinance ought to be dealt with before the MOU.
All right, that sounds fair. With that, we'll move to item 7B, natural resources. Mrs. Nielsen.
Thank you, Board. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. This item is a staff report regarding submission of a historic place to the National Register of Historic Places. And included on the agenda item is the staff report, but I did summarize the high points that I wanted to bring to the Board's attention today and to anybody in the public who may be listening. Members of the public, and specifically the Siskiyou County Water Users Association, have recently requested that the Board of Supervisors adopt a resolution to establish the ancient Beswick Forest area as a candidate for consideration as a historic place. And they have also requested that the Board submit, as a certifying authority, this designation for consideration under the National Historic Preservation Act. In order to clear up any confusion regarding the nomination process, county staff pulled together the staff report that would hopefully help guide the Board and guide the public. First off, the National Register of Historic Places is the official list of the nation's historic places worthy of preservation. Any person or organization may prepare a National Register nomination, and those who seek to nominate to the National Register, private or non-federal public owned land, must first make a submission to a certifying agency, which in the state of California is the State Historic Preservation Officer, or SHPO as it's commonly referred to. Once a nomination is made, SHPO will consider each property proposed for listing prior to making a recommendation to the National Register regarding the area's eligibility. Local governments, including, for instance, Siskiyou County, within whose jurisdiction the resource is located, will be provided 60 days to comment upon the application before the SHPO considers that nomination and makes any recommendations to the National Register. There may have been some confusion on the role that the county plays or can play in the federal recommendation process. The county, unfortunately, is not a certified authority for purposes of making recommendations to the National Register. The state of California, through SHPO, is the certifying authority and would be the certifying authority for the ancient Beswick Forest. So once the nomination or recommendation is made, or if it is made to the National Register, properties listed in the National Register of Historic Places must possess both historic significance and historic integrity. And I think this part is important. So, as outlined on the National Park Service's National Register of Historic Places website, not only must a property resemble its historic appearance, but it must also retain physical materials, design features, and aspects of construction dating from the period when it attained significance. Historical integrity could be a hurdle for listing a place that's historic appearance has been altered by more recent activities. To be considered eligible, a property must meet the National Register criteria for evaluation, and at a minimum, these questions will be examined. Is the property old enough to be considered historic, generally at least 50 years old? And does it look much the way it did in the past? And is the property associated with events, activities, or developments that were important in the past? with the lives of people who were important in the past with significant architectural history, landscape history, or engineering achievements? Does it have potential to yield information through archaeological investigation about our past? Also, under federal law, a privately owned property may not be listed in the National Register over the objection of its owner, or in the case of a property with multiple owners, over the objection of the majority of the owners. Listing a property on the National Register of Historic Places or being determined eligible for listing does not keep a place from being changed or destroyed. It does provide some protection in the form of how a project will be considered and how activities will be mitigated to hopefully prevent adverse effects to historic properties from federally funded or licensed projects. The National Register does not place restrictions on a private property owner regarding the use, maintenance, or alterations to a private property. And again, just because it's listed does not mean that that area cannot be changed or destroyed. And so the information that I've outlined above and that's included in the staff report is a brief outline of the steps involved in listing a place on the National Register of Historic Places. It is very involved, and I recommend the public visit the websites that were listed in the staff report. And so in conclusion, based on the requirements of SHPO and the National Register of Historic Places, Siskiyou County is not an authorized agency to make a recommendation to the National Register for listing of a historic place. The recommendation role is fulfilled by SHPO. If such a nomination were to be made by the Siskiyou County Water Users Association or other members of the public, since they are able to take such an action, Siskiyou County's role would occur during the period in which SHPO reaches out to local jurisdictions for input. So staff's recommendation is, because nomination by the county will not expedite the recommendation and listing process and will not bypass any requirements, county staff recommends that Siskiyou Water Users Association or any member of the public take the necessary steps to submit a nomination. County staff is happy to provide Siskiyou Water Users Association and the public with additional documentation regarding the nomination and listing process. And we are also happy to provide previous materials adopted by the board, which may be of use in the nomination process. So that's just a brief outline of what it takes. I'm open to any questions.
Thank you. That was an excellent report. You digested a great deal of the outside material. I know staff, outside counsel, staff, the lawyers did quite a bit of work to digest what the process is to lay it out for folks. Mm-hmm. And being able to do that in just a few minutes and lay it out really well. So with the board, any questions or comments from board members at this time? Supervisor Hopp?
Just one. I didn't uncover this when I was doing some research, but I know the county would have 60 days to respond to a nomination.
Yes, we do.
But is there anywhere in the research that you did a timeline on how long it takes SHPO to make a concurrence?
So I tried to look for that because I thought that would be helpful in this documentation. I did not find anything. I even looked, tried to search for average time. I did not find anything. I don't know if and Assistant County Counsel Natalie Reed didn't find anything either. So I would. Yeah, it could be a lengthy process. I think it also what could determine it is the amount of material that's provided and the amount of research that is needed and additional research or documentation that may be needed as part of the process.
I know that information is difficult to get because Section 106 processes are confidential. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you can log on somewhere or you can request information and ship while they keep most details pretty close to the rest.
That is correct.
And then I know some folks want it rushed, which I respect and honor, but even if the county were to do a letter of resolution, it does not expedite the process at all.
It does not expedite the process, and in fact, I mean, just speaking candidly, any entity, including Siskiyou water users or members of the public, can make the nomination, and they may be able to do that nomination to SHPO in a quicker manner than the county could, just based on resources available. And so they, it's very likely they could make that nomination in a more timely manner.
And at any rate, the application has to be filled out anyways.
Oh, yes, most
definitely. And the county can comment after it's filled out anyways.
Yes, and SHPO will reach out to the county specifically and allow and provide a 60-day comment period. But again, we don't play a role, we cannot play the role of SHPO and be the certifying authority to the National Register, which I think was a misunderstanding that I wanted to clear up.
Thank you. Any other questions from colleagues?
So with regard to private property, so the area in question or brought up by this, most of it is private, correct?
I would have to go back and look at a map, but I know that there are pieces that are private property, and so each of, in order for the entirety of the ancient Beswick Forest to be listed, it would need to have the approval of any, at least the majority of private property owners. It does not stop a property from being nominated, but it would stop it from being listed.
So what about the Pacific Core lands? That's, I guess, would be considered private. But there's a question with regard to that, and I know it's come up in this same dialogue as who owns that land.
Right.
And did it come via railroad grant, and does it go back to the federal government after Pacific Core, I guess, gets rid of it?
Right.
But we don't know that question.
And I did not look into that as part of this. I know areas of the proposal are Pacific Core land and held by Pacific Core right now, which I don't know how SHPO would view that. And we didn't look into the how the property reverts back.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just part of that discussion. So it's, there's a pretty clear articulation in the DEI, in the draft EIS, on how much land and acres is owned by BLM and by Pacific Core. What we don't know, what I don't know, is whether or not they did a title search, a clear title to those lands to determine those acres.
And I think that's something to note as part of the EIS review process as well.
Yeah, and while we're on the subject, part of maybe our request, I guess, in our response to comments would be whether or not there's rights of reversion in those lands when they were seized, and that the EIS actually discloses the clear title custody.
Okay. Anything else, Supervisor Copsett? Any other colleagues? And then I think it shows our commitment to the Copper Lake community, our commitment to the, to this issue, that kind of spent this much time researching and looking into it. So it shows our commitment. So thank you.
Of course.
With that, I'm going to go a little reverse model here. We're going to throw this at you guys. Yes?
Through the chair. We have one comment online.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. I was going to do the online comments first.
Okay.
This is a compliment. I got yours, Mr. Marshall, too. But I was just going to do online first. Kind of reverse it a little bit there to respect the people that are listening through the computer. Then if anything crashes, at least we get the comments. Absolutely, too. So, okay. Anna, whoever is online.
Chrissy, are you there? It's your turn to speak. I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Mr. Kiernan, will you mind getting the door? I apologize.
I'm sorry, give me just one moment, please.
Is, there somebody is the door open?
No, no, it's closed.
Oh, I thought I heard, buddy. Sorry, yeah. I'm sorry about that. I thought I heard a bunch of noise.
Okay, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank
you. We can, Ms. Chrissy. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's very challenging to hear online, and so I could hear Elizabeth well, but I really had a hard time hearing Michael and Ray and Supervisor Chair Chris.
Sorry about
that. In their comments. So I apologize if this just seems non sequitur. But my question is, in the draft EIS, there's a section where the county is going to be asked to sign on to a memorandum of agreement regarding the KRRC's historic properties and management plan. And so there's a question raised by the state of Oregon in their letter regarding SHPO and FERC, this project. This is the first question relates to whether the project referenced above is in fact a federal undertaking. And that's the thing is what kind of project is this? Is this a federal project? Is this a state project? And the reason why it's kind of important is because those lands, those federal withdrawal lands, it would be a federal process, not just a SHPO process. And I understand the comments made, and I did read the staff report and the recommendations, but I just kind of want to circle back around as to what legally, what kind of project is this? Is this a federal project? And then when it becomes, when you're using state funds, doesn't that become a public project? And then in terms of ownership, exactly who owns these right now? Because there's been a license transfer. So it's just, it would be helpful if we could get more information on those aspects from Natural Resources.
Supervisor Hopp? Ms. Chrissy? I'll put the microphone close to you. Sorry about that.
I can't get it any closer.
Do you want to grab this one? So I'll apologize for that.
It's all right.
All right.
I've started into the EIS.
Yeah.
FERC says it is a federal project, treating the states as a contractor. And that's about the only clarity I've gleaned from it so far. But I think you don't want to mix apples and oranges here between the dam removal process and SHPO, because SHPO can be either. They can either be part of a federal process or part of a state process, because they are given full authority to articulate even federal positions on cultural resources, whether it's a state or federal project.
Thank you, sir.
I don't know if it helps. But.
And then, Mr. Marshall, public comment?
Yes, thank you. Chairman Chris and members of the board, I'm happy to be here today, although it was a surprise to me because it wasn't until Sunday night when I was looking at the agenda that I even knew this was coming up. And I would ask in the future that, because we all know each other, and you have my email, you have my phone, when something like this is coming up, it'd be nice to know it without, in advance, instead of finding out by accident. I put over here a map which I'd like the board, when they have a chance at break time or noontime, to take a good look at, because that was done by your citizens. All that money and effort that went in to produce a map, which nothing like that exists anywhere else in Siskiyou County, showing all the sites and so on. That's aside from the question that we're dealing with today, but I wanted to make sure you understood that we think the citizens deserve some opportunity here where the board recognizes the effort that the citizens at Kopko Lake and in the water users put in. I take a little bit of exception with the report by staff. This document I'd like to point out, this is the federal document on listing historic properties I gave to our county council on the 14th of December when we first presented this, and I said, this is the process we're going to follow. The resolution, I looked at it again last night to see where the objections are, because we didn't use the terms that were used by our natural resources person. We didn't expect the county to approve it, and then that was the end of it. We expected the county to support, and so I would say the resolution, I'm going to withdraw the resolution because I think it's overbroad. It was overdone, and it needs to be changed, and I had mentioned before to a couple of supervisors, maybe a letter of position or recommendation or something to that effect would be something more appropriate. You are going to be faced in this MOA with answering to KRC and FERC as to which side of the equation you're going to stand on in terms of the historic preservation part. So that's an issue the board's going to have to be thinking about as they get down to that point. So I would also point out one other issue that ought to be brought up in the staff report, and that is that public utilities are treated differently. Public utilities under the ownership process are treated differently because they receive the licensing process. They're part of the regulatory system, and that makes them a little different animal. We also have these issues about property ownerships, which takes a lot more work to get into. But just to wrap it up, and for questions and so on, I wanted to point out we are following the AHRO process, the American Historic Properties process, which for federal properties and Indian lands is something that should be followed. In terms of the SHPO, that will also be, we're going to cover both those agencies as well as FERC, and I'm sure that at that point the county will get to make its opinions known, but I'd just like to say at this point that we withdraw our resolution because there's no point in going forward with it. It's obvious. I thought it was dead 2 or 3 weeks ago when we had a conversation about it. So otherwise, I would have withdrawn it already. Any questions?
Any comments from any board members on the subject at all? No. Thank you, Mr. Marshall.
Okay.
With that, staff report being given, and any other comments, Ms. Anna?
Sean Nellenline.
Right. We'll do item public hearing.
Did you go into drought?
What?
Did you mention going to drought?
Oh, we'll do that later.
That's later.
Okay. We will do item 8A, public hearing for the second reading of an ordinance regarding edible food. And then we'll come back to item 7C. So we'll do public hearing protocols. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Is this where ESJP and them are going to weigh in?
Oh, that's right. They're going to call in at 11:30, aren't they?
Yeah.
We have some people calling in at 11:30. Yes,
oh,
right.
That's right. Right.
Yes, thanks for catching me on that. We would have had to have done it again.
We'll do everything else.
We'll do everything else. Yeah, yeah.
We'll do everything else. ESJP.
So I didn't know you were an MMA player.
Yeah.
So what we'll do is, thanks for catching that, Supervisor Copsack. We would have had to done it twice. So what we'll do now, Mr. Dean, are you here for item 8B?
Correct, yes.
You are? Okay. We'll go ahead and do item 8B, public hearing for the Mott Airport, Desmere Municipal Mott Airport.
Hello, Board. Rick Teen, Community Development Director. This is a second reading of a project that Senior Planner Rachel Jarre will address for you. She's currently online.
Good. So, presentation of staff report.
Yes, Rachel, we can hear you. Please proceed.
Thank you. All right, this is the second reading of the purpose zone change. Staff is recommending that it be determined exempt from CEQA and that the draft ordinance changing the zoning from rural residential to planned development be adopted. No comments have been received by the Planning Division regarding this project.
Presentation of correspondence.
No correspondence at the clerk's level.
Reports from other agencies or evidence from other county departments. proponents? Opponents? Public comment?
Showing none online.
There'll be no rebuttals. Since this is the second reading, Ms. Wendy, I'll close the hearing.
Correct.
And bring it back to the board for discussion or entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion and a second. Roll call vote, Ms. Wendy.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
I'll be an aye on that also. Now, what I'm going to do is move to item 12A, Board of Supervisors request. So this is the Board of Supervisors request, item 12A, proliferation of legal cannabis cultivation, declaration of emergency. Any public comments?
Show none online.
None online. Wishes of my board, our board, for the declaration of emergency.
Move to approve.
Is that to extend?
Sure.
Thank you.
You're on 12.
12A.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
12A?
Yeah, gotcha. Sorry.
Sorry, I'm skipping. Yeah, you're right. 12A?
Second, correct.
No second?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Roll call vote.
Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye. And just so people know, I skipped this to these declarations of emergencies because I think one might take a little while. It might take a while before 11:30. So to item 12B, declaration for catastrophic wildfire. Mr. Shimini.
Good morning once again, Board of Supervisors. In regards to 12B, there's no real reason to continue that catastrophic wildfire declaration because we'll be writing a new one and pushing forward in the next few months. So that can certainly be, yes.
Supervisor Hawk.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with that as long as it comes back timely.
Absolutely, we're writing one now.
Yeah, one issue that I spoke to Mr. Shoshone about earlier was that either in a separate resolution or in this resolution of the board, we include direction, if you will, to the public land agencies for aggressive initial attack, no managed fire while we're under this drought emergency, as well as specific direction about the board's resolutions be incorporated in language to incoming delegations of authority for incident commanders. So the wishes of the citizens are known. Quite frankly, I can't afford to lose another town because it's foolish tactics that are playing on the public land. And it's disgraceful what's going on. And I'll work with
absolutely. That was our plan, is pushing a more tight, instead of a, as the fire's happening, building a emergency resolution for wildfires. Our goal is to build something prior to the season. You know, we just talked about fires a few hours ago. But yes, that's our plan. So I'd certainly like to get through on that.
So along those lines, I believe this is related to this discussion. I know Congressman Amalfa and Congressman McClintock have sponsored or authored legislation for initial attack, putting out the fire right away. Maybe if the board wants, we can't include it in the resolution, but if the board wanted to support such a letter in legislation.
Yeah, Supervisor Chris,
it's kind of connected to this, but I don't know.
It is. It's a complex issue. And somehow, if we do so, I'm fine with that letter.
Okay.
We need to articulate to Congress that you can pass anything you want, but the sole discretion of how that's carried out on the ground is under the emergency orders that the incident commanders have.
Right.
And they can choose to follow that or they can choose to ignore it. And that's where the problem is, right?
I'll stop with that. Sounds like we got Do we need a motion not to extend, or just let it fade away?
You can do either one. If you wish to do a motion to terminate, you're free to do so.
All right. I think we're just going to let it fade away unless there's a motion from any colleagues.
I prefer fade away.
Okay, yeah.
We just had a fire. There's a little something oxymoronic about saying that we're out of a fire danger when we just had a fire. So. Yeah.
No, I respect that. Item 12C, local emergency related to drought declared.
Again, hello, Board of Supervisors. In regards to the drought declaration, we would like to see about moving this to April 8th. I know there's some verbiage in writing that you, as the board last time I spoke with, would like to see. We're still drafting that, and then there's been a few new items that have come across my desk in the last few days, weeks, that will be added in, especially looking at City of Montague declare on CDA, which we need to circle with them and find out exactly what they're looking to do, as well as Klamath Water Project being a 50,000 acre allotment instead of their normal 350 to 400,000 allotment. And then just looking at Oregon is applying for federal declaration for a drought as well because they are an exceptional. We've been downgraded to extreme. But that area touches right, and then of course our agricultural area up there is certainly affected by that.
One thing I'd like to see in the revision is that I've been all over this thing from the standpoint of how it's been abused at the state level. We need to put in our declaration, I believe, how the governor's drought regulation is allowing DWR curtailments to nullify our ability to implement signal.
Okay.
Well, do you want this extended until the next one's drafted, or
yes,
to keep it going? Yeah,
yes.
You've got two meetings in April. The 5th. Is it the 5th for April? Yeah. Or the it would be the 20th. Yes. Or the 19th, sorry.
The 5th is what I'm proposing.
April 5?
Right.
Okay.
So with that, we probably want to extend this one as a caution and then go to the next one April 5th.
Yes, sir.
All right. Wishes of my colleagues.
To extend.
Second.
Motion and a second.
Okay.
Roll call vote.
Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Board.
We're on item number 12. I'm going to proceed on to item number 13. And item 13 is minute approval.
For Board of Supervisors 13A, I've received no corrections. I don't believe I have for the other two as well.
No spelling correct? All right. Can we take them all at once, Ms. Wendy?
We can, but if somebody's going to abstain,
okay.
If they're not here.
That's right.
So let's take February 1st first. How's that sound?
That's fine. I had people just checking their calendars as soon as meetings run together.
Then you can go through the whole.
Yeah. I show you as present on the first.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then I'm
good. Supervisor Allen's with it.
Motion for February 1st.
Second.
Thank you. Okay. Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye. 13B, February 15th minutes.
Approved.
Second.
Mr. Valenzuela was absent on the 15th. Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Aye.
Thank you. Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye. March 1st?
I show everybody was here on the 1st.
and at least get one motion in.
There we go. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
Okay.
Now we'll do item 11, which is Airport Land Use Commission. The minutes for airport, so I'll recess as the Board of Supervisors. Convene as the Siskiyou County Airport Land Use Commission. Any public comment for Airport Land Use Commission?
Showing none online.
None online. Minute approval?
I've received no corrections.
Move to approve and not have a question.
Second.
Okay.
Question
is, so now that we approve this, are we going to have an airport commission next meeting showing that we approve this? I guess what I'm getting is, or does it go away? Or are we just duplicating approving minutes?
No, I did that years ago.
Okay.
And actually got in a loop where we were approving minutes that were already approved as they were new minutes. This will be it for now.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, Commissioner Haupt.
Aye.
Commissioner Kobsev.
Aye.
Commissioner Valenzuela.
Yes.
Commissioner Ogren.
Aye.
And Commissioner Chris.
I'll be an aye.
Thank you.
Adjourned as the Airport Land Use Commission. We'll go to item number 10. Just going to reverse order here. Agenda 10, County Service Area 4. Okay. So I'll continue to recess as the Board of Supervisors. Adjourned as County Service Area 4. Public comment.
Open.
That's in the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Adjourned.
Oh, adjourned. Oh, we're done. We're moving along, guys. Thanks. get tongue tied here. So, at any rate, public comment for County Service Area 4. Open.
Show none online.
Minute approval?
I do need to make a comment before we do minute approval,
absolutely.
And I'm sure you all received this email, Mr. Mike Cosner out of South County, that he wanted the minutes changed. He said it falsely stated there were no public comments received. He's correct in there were no public, or I'm correct in there were no public comments received, and I did comment that he sent in an email when we talked about the transfer of funds. So I support my minutes. I believe they stand. I just wanted to make that comment that he sent his email in over the weekend that they were incorrect.
Okay.
So move to approve as is.
Correct. That would be my request.
Sorry.
Roll call.
Oh, who was second? I'm sorry.
Supervisor Haupt was
second. Oh, thank you. Okay. Director Haupt.
Director Haupt.
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Mm-hmm.
Or Director Kobsev?
Aye.
Thank you. Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Chris?
Well, adjourned to County Service Area 4. Continue to recess as the Board of Supervisors and convene as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District. Any public comment?
Showing none online.
Consent agenda?
This is approved with a question.
All right, I'll second. Question, go ahead.
What's entailed with the watershed cooperative manager? What kind of details are you looking at if we get that grant as far as implementation of phase one?
Thank you, Elizabeth. Excuse me, Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. So if we were to be awarded those grant funds, we would be using part of them towards projects outlined in the Sustainable Groundwater Management Plans for the Shasta, Scott, and Butte Valley Basins. And we'd also be using those funds for staff time and managing those projects and actions outlined in our groundwater sustainability plans.
Okay. The reason I bring it up is when people see the water smart, they think water meters.
Oh, yes. No. Well, and I used to manage the Water Smart program for Bureau of Reclamation, and it is not meters. So.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Call for the vote.
Okay.
We'll call the vote.
Director Haupt.
Aye.
Director Kobsev.
Aye.
Director Valenzuela.
Sure.
Director Ogren.
Aye.
And Director Chris.
Aye. Minute approval.
And I've received no corrections on those minutes.
Roll call.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Kobsev, motion.
And Haupt, thank you. All righty. Director Haupt.
Aye.
Director Kobsev.
Aye.
Director Valenzuela.
Yep.
Director Ogren.
Aye.
And Director Chris.
Aye.
Thank you.
All right. Looking at the agenda here, for the call in, I see, Ms. Wendy, I'll confirm with you. I don't see any other missed items other than edible foods.
Correct. I have 8A, which is the public hearing, and then 7C, which is the MOU.
All right. So what I'll do here is, if there is any board or staff reports, if there's any board or staff reports from anybody, I'll start with staff. Put you on the spot first with any staff reports?
None on today.
None today, okay. And with that, any board member reports at this time?
So I was just down to Sacramento for the RCRC installation of officers in the board meeting. As the CSAC president, me and the executive director did give a presentation on, you know, the common goals of both organizations and working together. Well received. You know, one of the things that comes to mind, as you know, I've been back to D.C. I was down here recently given speaking for CSAC, again as president, with Senator Padilla's presentation on the bill he's rolling out. You know, my comment to my peers was, Senator calls, you show up, you know, if you want to have any political favors down the line. So when we talk about the helicopters or whatever, you know, to me it's like we should reach out to our congressmen, our state senator, or, well, the state if it's national guard type stuff, but our national elected leaders to help facilitate those kind of things. I think that's something that's quite up your alley, so I'm looking somewhere to do that, at least the Senator Padilla, since I hope I'm in his favor at the moment.
Any other,
just a couple quick ones. The fire roundtable with Congress that I was invited to participate in was canceled on Monday. I don't know when that's going to be rescheduled. It's quite a bit of talk among the fire agencies right now outside the public land agencies about the lack of timeliness on aircraft and availability of aircraft for this summer. We'll bring back to the board the details of that, I think, at our next meeting as they develop right now and find out where the log jams is and log jams are, and maybe spawn a letter from us to our congressional representatives. And I attended the Patriots meeting on Thursday evening last week and talked at length about both the Beswick proposal and the draft EIS that's currently circulating for him.
So I attended RCRC by Zoom last week and then the ESJPA by Zoom, and I think Supervisor Valenzuela was on that call as well, or Zoomed in. I don't know if you were there.
I was there.
Were you? Okay.
By Zoom.
Yeah, okay. And we stretched out the conversation with Marshall, with Cal Recycle on 1383, and she and I think Julie will be on today, is that correct? And then from RCRC, ESJPA, Stacy Heaton and Larry Sweetser will be on, so that you'll have the full landscape of what we can or can't do. I think there were some clarifying things that we got on Thursday. I think we can make progress without hanging ourselves. I'll say that. How's that? But there was some new things that were clarified, and it's not just here. It's statewide. There's quite a bit of confusion. So stay tuned for 11:30.
Great. Thanks for putting that on, too. It's nice to have you there to answer the questions.
Because Marshall's, she is very, she's in tune. She listens, and she shows flexibility in realizing that, you know, it's just not one size fits all. So where she has flexibility, she does exercise that, and it's refreshing, especially from a regulatory agency. So
it's really a solution looking for a problem.
Anyway,
I would disagree with that statement, but that's another. There's a whole recycling's a big issue, right? I mean, all you got to do is go to our transfer station and see what we're dealing with.
But we know that it's market-driven, too, and that's part of the problem.
Which is where the rural counties don't have a market. The numbers don't jive. They're at the building flexibility.
Supervisor Oden, did you have any comments?
Just a few. Working with the executive board for NCRP and looking at a number of different grant funding projects with fire and... couple other big projects, but mostly fire mitigation. And then COC board and collaborating with the city on planning for emergency warming centers for the homeless and looking at fire issues in town. Collaborating with emergency services, trying to get that figured out.
I have to tell you, one of the warming fires, it's no wonder we have issues, public health issues. I mean, there was one loosely constructed shelter up there that was made out of pellets. And it looked like a smokehouse. I mean, somebody was, they're inside with a fire and smoke was just coming out of every crack up there. I thought, I hope that's a sweat lodge and not a, I mean, it defies imagination.
It's a problem, and we finally have put together a group that are actually working toward a plan. It appears that we have the community center at the north end of town that will actually become a warming center. That's a temporary, you know, whenever they're working on parameters to try to figure out, this is the city, parameters for when that will be open. The county will work with Health and Human Services to provide labor and the people that will hopefully be there to support. So there's a collaborative effort now where there hasn't been before. So that's a lot of movement in the right direction. There'll be law enforcement there to make sure that things don't get out of hand. I've spoken with Dr. Collard to try to, at our next meeting, bring in CAL FIRE and Chief Lemus from Guayrica so that we can talk about the fires. I've spoken with Brian Shinoni today, and he's all about it, so he wants to be there as well, so we can try to figure out this whole warming fire thing, so we can try to get that under control. So hopefully,
thank you.
Yeah, we can move that in the right direction as well. So there's progress.
The work you did over the winter to have that warming spot in winter to save anybody's lives, anybody's life from carbon monoxide poisoning or anything like that.
Yeah, that was, it happened.
Yeah, it got done.
So it did get done.
Closed.
I was just going to give my report. Yeah, we could do it closed.
I mean, in one item, maybe I'm just saying.
Get people out. Okay, we'll work it out. Yeah. I'm kind of relaxed in time a little bit because we're. But for my report for District 1, as Mr. Shinoni brought up, Montague Water Conservation District declared a drought. Montague dealt with issues there for. It looks like possibly no water year for a major irrigation district. Tudor Lake, as Shinoni brought up, looks like it's going to have a much reduced water allocation. It'll be sharing with the Klamath Project in Oregon as well. Doris did receive, I forget the name of the grant now. Ms. Elizabeth, you're on the spot.
No, I don't recall either.
But there was a grant, it's for groundwater, it's for water a little bit in Butte Valley, studying some wells, and also it's infrastructure for the city of Doris, thanks to the Sigma team that the county has put that together for the city. And the city did an outstanding job stepping forward, and they're administering the grant, doing everything. So it's a good partnership there. McLeod, of course, we still have that creek. And those sorts of things. And with that,
can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Is there a cost of the fire of the mill?
I know The mill fire, I actually responded to that one with the fire department. To brag on the Doris Fire Department, they did an outstanding job. The guys that worked, no one was on shift at the time, there were just some people there. They did an outstanding job, and then the mill workers, when they caught on fire, went over there, because they trained on that. And they saved, they passed hose around, and we saved the main part of the building. But it was, I think, mainly a, kind of like a storage area that burned down. There was an area, use a little bit of humor here, where the fuel was. I was running over there to get more hose to save the building. And there's a degree of cussing and explosions. I didn't ask what it was. I just stayed behind the engine for a little while until everything stopped. But I don't know what the cause was. All I know is rumor, and of course I don't want to substantiate that. Right. Yeah, but the fire department, it was a worse nightmare fire. It could have been. If it started at night, it could have been even worse. But the team did the community did a great job there. And then the fire departments from all over Siskiyou County responded to that. Even from Keno, Oregon, so it was a good response. But like I said, all I know is a rumor, so I can't tell you specifically. And I did have a town hall at Copco Lake, and the food was delicious.
Thank you.
And cookies and everything, yeah.
We appreciated that very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Ebert. With that, we have 20 minutes. I want to respect everybody here, but if we want to do closed session, I could kick everybody out to the hallway for a little while. Do closed session, or we could take a 20-minute break.
How long are the labor discussions?
20 minutes.
No, I won't take that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm waiting to wait.
I need to call Melissa.
I can call some people to come over for some of the closed session.
I'm not sure. Is there spots for people to sit out there?
Yes. You know, if I could, I think we're nearing. I think a break would be okay.
Because
people out, people in.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, you know, I think respect that. Oh,
yeah. No, I was just.
Yeah, this is a good idea. Yeah. So yeah, we'll take a recess here. And for everybody online, we're going to come back at 11:30. Just one of those scheduling things. We got there a little faster than we expected.